For all your Disney vacation club needs, be it buying, selling, or renting points for your next vacation, check out our sponsor over at dvcshop.com. Now on with the show.
Clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de la puerta.
We welcome you aboard our highway to the sky.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Welcome to another episode of the Monorail Tales. Last week, we published a Monorail Tales episode where Steve and I had recorded a show using sound bites from the parks as we celebrated Walt Disney's 50th anniversary. Well, on this episode, you're now going to hear from our co-hosts on what they thought about the special day at Magic Kingdom and also what it was like meeting up with each other for some of us, you know, the very first time, and maybe for some of us the very last time. But we'll find that out in a minute. Joining the show is Michael, Jeff, Bill. Rick was here. He's absent at this moment, but we're hoping he's going to bounce back into the show as we go along. So let's get started. Let's go around the table and start sharing our thoughts and feelings, starting with Magic Kingdom on the actual anniversary of when the gates opened for the very first time 50 years ago. So I want to hear your thoughts, be them good, maybe not so good. So let's go around the table, sharing maybe one thought at a time and allow for discussion before moving on to the next person. Is that okay with everyone?
Sounds good.
Okay, anyone would like to start?
Well, I'll jump in here real quick, and I'll try and give as much of a Reader's Digest version as I can. I'll start with the morning of that day. I mean, it was, it started out very magical, and everything was like falling into place really nice. I mean, I woke up at 5 in the morning, washed up, got to the bus stop just before 6 at All-Star Movies. And right about at 6 on the nose, 3 buses pulled in. It was a long line of people, but those 3 buses were more than enough to accommodate all the people that were waiting. So I think I got on bus number 2 and was at the Magic Kingdom by around 6:15. And basically, I have it on video, it was at 6:18 precisely, they opened up the gates and people started going in fairly calm. They weren't, running over each other. Got the walk down Main Street, and it was magical. I mean, it was a magical moment there. You know, there were cast members along the sidewalk waving and saying happy 50th. And, it was really cool. Sun hadn't even come up yet. Walked my way up to, I literally was standing just to the right side of the Walt and Mickey statue that's in front of the castle. So I had a good spot. And it was very congenial. Everybody was talking and having fun. And, people would start to cheer just, for randomly, just for no apparent reason. It'd be a big group of people just start cheering. But it was fun. Then the characters came out for a while and they did a few things for Good Morning America to, do a little bit of show stuff for them. They shot off some fireworks. Then they dropped the rope a little bit further so that we could get up right in front of the castle area. And so the crowd moved up some more. I still had a very good spot, pretty much front and center. And then they did their little rope drop show just a little before 8 o'clock. That's where it started to get a little like, they did the rope drop show. They had Mickey and Minnie come out. They had Donald and Daisy and Goofy, Chip and Dale, Pluto out there. And they came out for maybe 2 minutes, a little, maybe 2 minute show, if that. And then they all turned around, marched back into the castle, and that was it. It's like, what happened here? That was it. Magical time, but was sort of let down by the actual opening ceremony show that they did. I expected a little more, I guess. And so did a lot of other people. I got several people on video in the background. You can hear this one guy saying several times as I watched it over and a few times after, you know, this guy just basically saying, that's it. that's it. So anyway, so that was the start of my day.
Okay. Was any of you others there for the opening? Michael, Bill, Rick?
I was not. So just to recap, our trip was a great trip, but it was a different trip because Katie's 2.5 and all that
Hello.
Stuff. Hello,
can you
Rick.
Hear me?
We okay. can. You're interrupting me, Rick.
Like I said at the very beginning of this show, Rick would eventually pop back in.
Yes.
And that's him popping back in. Carry on, Michael.
But so what I was going to say, we did not get up to get there. Or like we got up to, quote, get there early, but not that early. And actually, Jeff, I think we were on our way on the bus to Magic Kingdom. And I like pulled up Facebook, I think, and saw your post from like 6:18 getting in. And I was like super mad and jealous. But then I wasn't. But then I wasn't at all because, oh, my God. Okay, so our day was great, but you're not wrong. Like, they literally did nothing to commemorate the 50th. Like, they had a two-minute thing with the fabulous five, six, however many there were out there. And, like, there was no speech. There was no even just, like, a replay of the opening. You know, to commemorate, like there was no commemoration done in that regards. And so, and also, I'll be honest, we didn't see a single fireworks show on our trip just because it didn't work out. And I'm not that upset about it. Like, I would have liked to have seen it, but we had our own kind of trip and it was fine. But yeah, that was so. Yeah, I was super jealous and borderline angry, not at you, but just angry in general. But then after I learned that you basically didn't get to do anything that I didn't get to do, like I'm okay with that. Like I got to sleep in a little bit later.
What about you, Bill?
Go ahead.
I kind of the same thing as Michael was saying. We got there. I was trying to get there early enough to do like at least supposed to. I think at 7:30 you could get in as a resort guest, whatever. We were aiming for that. We got out to the bus stop and there was a huge line, and we waited. And no bus, whatever. But and we ended up running into two very nice, one British person and then one person from who knows where he's from, met up with this Steve and Sharon, I think her name is.
Oh, that was us. Yes, I forgot about that, Paul.
Oh, Sheila, that was her name. I'm sorry. But, you know, it was like one of those weird things. It's you know, it was a little bit frustrating and everything. And the traffic getting in was, like, horrendous. That was part, I think, the issue with the buses.
Yeah.
But because of the delay, you know, because I'm sitting here panicking, like, oh, no, we're going to get there. It's the regular, you know, folk that are off property are going to be trying to get in. I walked right in through security, walked right in through the gate. And by the time we got in here, everything had kind of broken up. I mean, it was still busy down Main Street, but it wasn't as crazy as I thought it was going to be. And it just ended up being a different type of day than I thought it was. I didn't see anything. I didn't see the beginning of it. And that's my one sentiment. I walked away from this is it didn't seem like they did anything special that I thought they would be doing, like presentations and this and that. I mean, it was more, I think, geared towards the TV audience and recording stuff than it was for the people that were there.
That's so true.
But that doesn't take away from the day. It just ended up into, and maybe we'll expand on this a little bit later. It just ended up into a different type of day than we were expecting, which was a good thing. It just wasn't what we were expecting. So,
Rick, what time did you guys get to the park?
After 9, maybe 9:30.
So walking into the park then, Rick, did you feel there was anything, you know, even though you'd missed the open stage show that, you know, Jeff was explaining, walking into the park with your family, did you feel there was a different feel about the park at all?
Yeah, there was just an excitement. It seemed like everybody was really cheerful. It really reminded me of when we went August of last year, which was 2 weeks after they reopened. And, there's just an energy about it. And we did walk by Bob Chapek on Main Street when he was doing his interview.
Did you pinch him?
No.
I just want to very quickly say, Rick, I agree with you. There was excitement in the people, the other guests. I personally believe Disney let us down that day. I think they could have done a lot more. Some of the things I would have, I think, liked to have seen was maybe one or two stage shows, maybe a special float, with the 50th draped all over it and stuff. I knew in the past.
Wasn't there one of those?
Not that I saw.
Yeah, I have video of this. Still haven't posted it yet, but I do have video of the first cavalcade. It was around 10 o'clock, 10:15, I think, by the time it got to the castle where I was at. And it was a little bit decked out. It was, I think it was more golden than normal. And it did have a 50th plaque on the side. So they did fix it up a little bit.
It was we saw that. We saw that in Adventureland.
Oh, right. I missed
so
that.
You saw it in Adventureland. And then it marched over toward about 10:15.
It was what it was, but it wasn't grand and glorious.
Yeah, I wouldn't,
And the dedication ceremony was the night before.
And that's interesting, Rick, because, I think it was, 10 o'clock the night before?
Yeah, now, when they live-streamed the Disney Enchantment Show.
Mm-hmm. Now, here was the interesting thing. Okay, so after the little mini rope drop show they did, the two-minute thing, at 8 o'clock, everybody just sort of stood in front of the castle because they were waiting for something else. We were just like, okay, what else is going to happen? They've got to do something else here. But no, some people started milling away and going off toward the park, but there was still a huge crowd right in front of the castle. And we had heard, and I'm sort of sad to say this, but not only from just general people that were there, but also a couple of cast members, that there was something that was going to happen at 10 o'clock in front of the castle, like a rededication ceremony, similar, I guess, to the night before. So, I and hundreds of other people stood in front of the castle still for 2 hours waiting for that to happen.
Maybe they saw 10 o'clock and just assumed it meant morning.
I mean, they may have been thinking the 10 o'clock from the previous night, but they were saying 10 in the morning, there's going to be this another dedication ceremony. Yeah. At 10 o'clock, over the PA system, there was an audio announcement, and that was it. It was like a 30-second to a minute-long announcement about, thank you for being in the parks on the 50th anniversary, blah, blah, blah. And everybody just sort of looked at each other and said, really? We just waited here for 2 hours for that. That was a little bit of a downer moment. But I'm going to agree with you guys, though, as far as the, I guess, the electricity and the mood of, people in general, though. Other than that being somewhat of a bad moment for me. It was a very magical, very electrical type of crowd buzz going on throughout the day. Everybody just seemed to be happy just to be there.
Yeah. Okay, here's another question for you guys to answer then. When you think of an event like this, you tend to think there's going to be big crowds. One thing that I noticed was that you could get on the rides within no time and crowds were minimum because everyone was in the stores. What was it like for you guys for getting on rides? Were they the rides you went on in the morning, like walk-ons or?
Yeah, mine were.
Yours?
Absolutely.
So did that surprise you?
Yeah. Yes. When we first came in, we headed towards Tomorrowland, and as you know, we were going that way, and we went for the people mover, and we're like looking, and I'm like, well, there's a huge line for that, and then whatever, trying to figure it out, and we, you know, went up to it. There was no line. I mean, a little bit of a line. There was a huge line to get the popcorn bucket, and that I think was, as it was, I think you mentioned, Sheila, it was kind of the theme of the day. It was like the merchandise thing drew everyone towards that, I guess. So everywhere else we went, we were in Tomorrowland and Fantasyland, and it was just like, it was nice. It was a beautiful day weather-wise, not a lot of people, walk on the rides, and, you know, it was just laid back, and that was the thing. But I think the, you know, put a little negative twist on, not twist on it, but it's like, I think the merch has become more important than what they could have done as far as, you know, pageantry and stuff like that.
Yes.
But saying that, I think the cast members, which is the important part, they were all happy, and plenty of them, and had no complaints with them. And they had a lot of stuff I'm sure they had to put up with today. But they were always happy, yes, helpful, you know, keeping us in order, you know, telling us to put the masks, yeah, on when we were indoors, you know, very nicely and stuff. So I give those the kudos. Give them the kudos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Bill, yeah, I agree with you. I have a thing to say about it, though. So I agree that it seemed like that they put more emphasis on the merch in some regards than, you know, a ceremony or a thing or whatever. But the really weird and frustrating thing for me was, there was not really any day of merch. The only day of merch was stuff in the Big Top. Mm-hmm. The stuff that was in the Emporium is going to be there all 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There was nothing special. Mm-hmm. Like, there's stuff that had been in the Emporium for weeks already. And I think Disney, again, Sheila, to echo what you said earlier, I think Disney let us down in that I didn't even try to get into Big Top because we went over there and the virtual queue was full. And Leslie is, God bless her, she is an introvert like you wouldn't believe. But when she wants something, she knows how to get it. And she just straight up looked at the cast member and was like, what are we waiting in line for? Like, she's nice and everything. She's like, what's in there? And she showed her, pulled out a sheet that had all the merch that was exclusively that day only. And yeah, none of it was anything that we would have wanted at all. Like, wow, there was a fedora or whatever. I don't wear hats. Like, there was just a bunch of stuff that just wasn't anything. And the popcorn buckets, you're right, they completely sold out like immediately. I think what they failed, Disney failed at, is they put all the day of merch in the Big Top, which then meant that they had a virtual queue that no one could get into. And they seemed to have put all the special popcorn buckets at like one popcorn cart. And so you had 4,000 people in line for this one popcorn cart, and everybody got upset because they didn't have it. I know that a fight broke out in the Emporium and they had to get security involved. The cast members did an amazing job. When we finally got into the Emporium, and excuse me, I think the only reason we got into the Emporium was because Leslie is really nice and she was on a scooter, and they just kind of let us into the standby line, and we got in, and like there was a wall of cast members, and they were directing traffic and telling people where to go. Are you here for the Starbucks tumbler? And Leslie was like, I don't even know what it looks like. And they're like, oh, there it is, you can get two. And she was like, okay, I'm gonna grab two. But it just wasn't, I don't know, like there wasn't that, mm-hmm, you know, like I got some really good merch, don't get me wrong, but like, and I don't care that it's not just day of, because I have some day of stuff that I'll talk about later. But like, but the rides, dude, the rides were sick, because everybody was doing like Jeff and standing in the hub grass for 2 hours for no reason. Or they were all crammed in there. At what time did they start to fill up for fireworks? Like 5, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. At 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon for that show? Oh, wow.
Which, like, I get it. I understand you want to see something. Yeah, right. But like, I don't understand. And again, this is not judging how people spend their money. I don't understand how somebody spends $100 to $140 mm-hmm. a person to get in, to then sit on the ground for 4 hours waiting on a parade.
Exactly.
Go do some stuff.
It was interesting. I mean, it was like opposite land as far as the lines, yeah, to the rides and stuff. Like you said, there were no lines. I mean, for the most part, I did a walk on Splash Mountain. I, you know, walked on, you know, Peter Pan. And I only did actually a few rides that day. I mean, I was just there to be there. And so
I got mad after the fact, Jeff, because we had the Dash Pass and we didn't really need it. I hate to say that because I sound like a jerk, but like, Leslie can't stand in lines for long times, and we had it. Yeah. But like, we used it, but we really didn't have to because we could have just walked on to most everything.
But yeah, it was crazy. Everybody, like you said, everybody was in line for merchandise. I'm not a big merch person myself. So I think before the actual opening ceremony thing started, this is, you know, I think I heard somebody maybe around 7:15, 7:30 already. And I didn't even know there was a virtual queue for the Big Top and for all this stuff. I just heard somebody saying, it's all filled up. The virtual queue is all filled up already. and you know, they're going to reopen it a few times throughout the day. But yeah, it was like right before 7:30, I think somebody was already saying it's full. Virtual queue's full. Yep. So I had these people just wanting to get merchandise, and the popcorn buckets were insane. Those lines to any of the vendors with a popcorn bucket stand were really long. And I just so happened, it was purely by chance, I started doing a live stream of one of the popcorn bucket stands near the Big Top area on the entrance way over in that direction. And it was one of the shorter lines, but it was still very long. So I start this live stream and I'm like, you know, I go to the counter and I talk to this one cast member who was off to the side. I said, could you pull a couple of those, you know, Mickey balloon buckets for me? So, you know, I'm doing a live stream. I just want to show the audience. And he said, we just sold out. Literally, as I was there doing a live stream, I said, are you kidding me? And he goes, nope, we just sold out. But fortunately, so I got it live. That was interesting. But fortunately, the people that were at the counter, they were the last two buckets being sold as I was talking to this guy. So I went over there and I said, would you mind? We're live streaming right now. Can we see your buckets? And they held them up for us. And the guy jokingly offered me some popcorn from his popcorn bucket. But it was fun.
Bill and Rick, did either of you do any shopping?
Well, we did. When we walked in, we did catch they were doing the virtual queue, and they said to keep refreshing. And so that's for the Big Top. So I just kept on refreshing throughout the day. And I think after we did, it was actually right after we did the It's a Small World ride with everyone, and I got out and actually got into, you know, a spot and got called for it later in the day. And I guess short story long on that, once you got into the queue, it was still like an hour wait to get into the small little, actually wasn't small, but the small little room where they had the merchandise. And, you know, it was organized and stuff like that. But like Michael said, it's like, none of the stuff was anything worth buying. I was like, I didn't like any of the designs. I ended up buying a water bottle, which I kind of like now, because I was like, I waited in the line for this hour, I'm going to get something. And we got a pin, and that was it. It was just not, I don't think it was very nice merchandise.
Once you got inside the store, Bill, how much time was you allocated?
You weren't, as far as I know, they weren't limiting how long you had. They would let a large group in at a time. Like, you know, I guess as it kind of, as the, because they split into two, it was like back where they had the meet and greets for the characters back in that, the Big Top, that's where they had it. And so it was wide open and they split into two different sections with the same merch. And so then once you got through there, you could go into the main part shopping for the Big Top, and that's where you could get the pins and a few other things. But they never really limited you, but there wasn't a lot of stuff in there either. So it's like you really didn't have much time. I mean, need a lot of time to look at the stuff.
Yeah. What about you, Rick? Did you end up going into any of the stores?
Yeah. After we ate breakfast at our resort, we stayed at Coronado, we walked by the gift shop there and went in. I'm not really sure why we went in there, but the cast member said, have you seen our 50th anniversary merchandise? And showed me all the stuff they had behind the counter. They had pins and shirts and the Crocs and all that stuff. So we bought our stuff there.
Really? I didn't even know they, because we stayed at the same resort, right? I didn't know they were doing that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And then, we avoided all the popcorn lines, and which kind of stunk because the only snack that the kids really wanted was popcorn. So they didn't get it. And then when we left, which was about 5, because the kids wanted to go swimming, and we weren't going to stay for the fireworks because Emma's not a big fan of them, and the hub was crazy already, you know. We got into the Emporium in 15 minutes, and the cups that people were fighting over, they had a whole display of those. And we got some more of the sweatshirts for the girls because they wanted some of those. And Liam got a t-shirt. And I waited longer in line to check out than I did in line to get in.
Well, I came away with a $2.50 shopping bag that I bought at Epcot, and that was my limit. Talking about food, Rick, let's start with you. What did you do for food that day? Because I know besides the rides, besides the shopping lines, there was humongous lines for food.
Yeah, let me tell you about the food. Well, we ate breakfast at the resort, and we met up with you guys and rode in Small World. And then we went with Michelle and her family to Big Thunder Mountain and rode that. Olivia rode it with us while Michelle and her family sat out. And we got off that at 11. And Michelle had already mobile ordered their lunch, and we were going to mobile order our lunch. And I had a spot picked for 11:50, and then it kicked me out. And the next time that was available was 1:30, which was, 2.5 hours away. So we put our order in for 1:30, and then we went and met B, hung out with her for a little bit, and we rode Speedway. The kids rode teacups. B got some ice cream. We got some, we ended up getting popcorn once the bucket sold out and people quit going in line. But I checked in at 1:30 for our food, and it never said it's ready. And there's just, all kinds of people. We ordered a Cosmic Rays, and it was crazy. The amount of people that are standing out there waiting and stuff. So I was like, I'd started to hear that they're having really long delays for the food. So we went and rode Space Mountain, and Brandy and Emma rode the People Mover. We rode Buzz Lightyear, went on the Carousel Progress, and our food still wasn't ready. And it had been almost an hour and a half. So it was about 3:00. So I walked up to talk to a cast member to see about canceling the order so we could go get food somewhere else. And that was the only time I saw people being upset. There were a couple women there that were up, kind of talking harshly. And as soon as I started talking to the cast member, my screen turned blue and our food got ready. And so they let us in, and the lady that was next to me talking to another cast member said, how long have you waited? And I told her an hour and a half. She'd only been waiting for an hour, so I figured she still had some time to wait. But, we got in, and, there were a few seats, but the food that was sitting up in the window where they prepare it. I mean, they had mountains of chicken fingers and mountains of French fries, and it was just crazy. You know, I've heard things that, you know, their internet went out and their whole system crashed and it just got overwhelmed. So of course, I don't know. I wasn't privy to the behind the scenes Disney information, but it was a mess at lunchtime.
I just want to gloat here a little bit, because I think when we were talking about, you know, our big trip to Disney before we even got there, I joked about having a picnic on the island. And that's exactly what Steve and I did. We went over to Tom Sawyer's Island, took a picnic with us, and we sat the old place that used to serve food, kind of overlooking the Haunted Mansion. And it was perfect. No crowds, no waiting. So bear that in mind next time.
That's a brilliant idea. That's perfect.
Yeah, it was. Really was. Michael, what was your experience with food like?
So the whole trip, I didn't really care to get a bunch of table service meals, just because 2.5-year-old. So we only had a couple. We just planned a quick serve. And Rick, we had the exact same experience at Casey's Corner. I can tell you without having any actual proof, but just having worked in support areas in that whole world, there was definitely a malfunction and a failure on some part, because we placed a mobile order, and this was right around when you got your food. This was around almost 3 o'clock. Placed the order, and we're just sitting there waiting. And it was like an hour and 15 or whatever. And a cast member, I noticed that several cast members were coming out and talking to people, and they were asking, how long have you waited? And a cast member came out and asked us, how long have you waited? And we told her like an hour and 15, whatever. And she said, hang on a second. And she went back inside. Then my app said, your food's ready. I went inside, stood in line at the window number 3, because that's where they said the food would be. And then like, it was just busy and nobody really acknowledged me because they were busy. I'm not dissing the cast members. I'm just saying the situation was hectic, to say the least. And then I got a text from Leslie that said the food was here. So the cast member came out, went back in, got our food, and brought it to us. So no, they had something went down. And by that, I mean, technologically speaking, something happened, because the stuff was just not working. I don't know if it wasn't relaying the orders in a timely fashion or whatever, but something weird happened. And that was that way. Now, we went to like Aloha Isle and a couple other places, and the mobile ordering there was fine. Like, I literally just said, hey, I want to get, you know, I want a Dole Whip float and 2 the vanilla Dole Whips and whatever. And I said, I'm here, make it. And then it was ready within minutes. But no, for the stuff that was like food, it was a disaster. I will say though, Leslie and I both got the 50th hot dog with the like raspberry bacon or whatever it was on there. It was really good. And while we were standing there, just because I'll gloat a little bit too, a cast member came out to play the piano, and he was actually called back for the 50th because was there on opening day.
Yeah, I read about that. That's cool.
And
I wish I could
have
seen him.
That was cool. The only other weird dining thing we had worked in our benefit, because one of the table service was not on the 50th, but on our last day down there, we got a reservation at Crystal Palace. And two things happened. One, I walked in and I almost broke down into tears, just because it finally felt like a pre-COVID experience, because it was a table service meal in a restaurant that we love. And other, I mean, like, they ask you to wear your mask if you're not eating, whatever. But that aside, it felt like, quote, the good old days. The downside that ended up not being a downside was the only reason Leslie booked that was because she wanted Katie to see Pooh and Eeyore and Tigger and whomever might come out. And none of the characters came out yet. she asked one of the cast members, they're like, no, not yet. But the reason that it ended up not really mattering was because Katie passed out hardcore and slept through the entire meal. So I'm glad that there were no characters because she would have missed it. But yeah, something went down. The cast members, I give them huge props, the ones on the front lines, because they handled it as best they could. But it was not easy getting mobile orders.
What about you, Bill? And then we'll hear from you, Jeff, because I know, Jeff, you were there all day, so you must have had to get food from somewhere. but let's start with Bill first.
Well, our plan, which, well, we were on the bus trying to get there in the morning, I set in a mobile order for Harbor House, and that was my plan. And then as we're still on the bus, maybe it was a little bit later, I got a text from the nice family from, I want to say they're from Ohio, the Positanos. And they're like, oh, we have a reservation for 6 people. There's only 3 of us for Be Our Guests. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And I asked my wife first and everything. But so, you know, I figured that the quick service was going to be not a big disaster. I'm not disaster, but disaster as it was. But I had my feelings about it. And so I was able to look and spend a lot more money than I was anticipating for lunch, but I really enjoyed my meal. Got to finally do Be Our Guests, and now I don't have to do it again. So I lucked out that way. Got a nice break out of the sun, so I was happy with it.
Well, that's good. And you left quite early in the day, so you didn't have to probably eat again at Magic Kingdom?
No, we didn't eat again at Magic Kingdom, which we didn't have any reservations. We decided to go over to Epcot just to get a head start on the food and wine stuff, which we were able to do our dinner there. And interesting thing about that, as Harmonious was going on, I'm trying to think, is that one of the first shows? Whatever, we were headed on out and hit the, I can't remember what it's called, the new store that they have instead of Mouse Gears, which had a huge line Creations. When we walked in. What is it?
Creations.
Yeah, Creations. It was a huge line but there was no line when we were walking out. Plus, when we were walking, we got pixie dusted with some free popcorn, which now I think about it, was pretty amazing because no one else could get popcorn that day in Magic Kingdom. But they gave us some free popcorn as we were going in. So I'm sitting there eating my popcorn. There was no one in the store. And on top of that, the same merch that was in the Big Top was there, and some of the stuff that they said was sold out was there, and they had lots of it. So it was like one of those, okay.
Interesting. Jeff, what about you? How did you fare for eating?
Well, my family will tell you, if it weren't for them, I wouldn't eat many days. I mean, I can go through a day without eating or eating very lately. So like that morning, I had no breakfast, nothing. Got to the park early, like we talked about. Between 8 and 10, while waiting for that dedication thing that never happened, I ended up, somebody saved the spot for me where I was at, because by that point, everybody was like friends with each other. Everybody was, you know, just having a little party atmosphere and talking in front of the castle. I just ran real quick and I got a couple of waters for some of the people there, and I got one for me. So that was my breakfast and lunch, was a bottle of water. And then it was around 2 o'clock-ish, somewhere in there, got an orange swirl. I love the orange swirls. That was enough to hold me for another few hours. But I did not do the, you know, ordering ahead thing. I just walked up. And I got in line, and within a matter of minutes, I had my orange swirl, and I was on my way. And I think the reason why I didn't do the ordering online is because a couple days earlier, our family, we were all at Magic Kingdom, and we tried to get some food from Cosmic Rays and tried using the app, and it just kept blowing up and blowing up, and it wouldn't even let us place the order. So we did a walk-in for that. So I just sort of had it in my head, I'm just going to do walk-ins. So then, I don't know, it was maybe a few hours later, you know, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, maybe by that point, finally said, okay, I need to eat something. Ended up walking in the Columbia Harbor House, got myself some fish and fries. And again, I literally just walked in. There was not a huge line at this point. I think probably all the garbage that was going on earlier with lunch and, like Michael was saying, probably system issues and that maybe had been starting to get cleared up. But by that point of the day, yeah, I walked in the Columbia Harbor House, got in line, maybe took me 10 minutes to get through the line and another 5 or so for the food to come out. And that was it. That was my big, big food day at the Magic Kingdom that day.
Okay. Now, during our different times of leaving the park, Steve and I more or less stayed too near the end. We didn't get to see the fireworks. Go back 2 episodes and you'll hear why. But as we were leaving the park, the cast members were handing out the poster. What did you think of the poster, guys? Bill, let's start with you.
If I recall right, the poster person was a female. It wasn't a guy. She was kind of cute. Is that what you were asking?
I don't know anymore with you.
No, I thought, and that's the funny thing of all the merchant stuff, was the commemorative park map and the poster they gave us were probably the nicest things that we got that day. And other than the park commission, they were free.
Yeah.
I was, you know, and we had heard that, you know, you saw people walking around and you had heard that you got a poster when you get out. And of course you're like, yeah, sure. They're going to run out like everything else. But they, you know, when we left, they had them. And I don't know if anyone heard of anyone that didn't get one that was there.
And then you have someone like Steve, who went back to the resort, and it wasn't poster related, but he had to go back to the resort. He came back into the park and they gave him another, you know, park map. So, and then at one point we had to go and meet with a custodial outside, and we walked back in and they gave us another park map. So be nice to me, listeners. I might have one or two spare for you, but, the thing is, when Steve left the first time, they gave him a poster. So Steve ended up at the end of the day with 2 posters. And I mean, that is one of our giveaways that Bill hopefully is going to talk about a bit later on before we close out the show. But it made me think, for all those people that were aware that they were giving posters, how many did they snag by just going out and then coming back in, you know? So look on eBay.
I can tell you. So we left Magic Kingdom and then came back.
Oh, Michael, you're one of them.
Well, we did it because Katie, like, we did whatever.
I know.
But no, yeah, we... So yeah, when we came back in, so when we left the first time, we got 3 posters. And then we came back in, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, because the cast members were still handing out the maps as you came in. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get another one. Then I looked at Charlie, and I was like, you need one of those, don't you? And then Leslie grabbed one. And then on the way out, we got 3 more posters. So we gave one to Leslie's best friend. But yeah, we have 5 total. But yeah, on eBay, they're going from anywhere from like $50 to $100.
It's crazy.
And then we're not selling ours. And then I saw there was evidently a screen print that I never saw when I was there, and those are going from anywhere from like $200 to $400 or $500 on eBay.
Well, even the park map is, I mean, that's up there. You know, people are willing to pay.
I think I saw a bundle on eBay that was like the park map and the poster and maybe like one of the limited edition pins for like $180-$200.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow. So Rick, with your poster, are you going to frame it?
Yeah, I am. We actually have.
Well, I mean, there's 4 members in your family, so.
Yeah. And actually, kind of swung around, and I got an extra map for Michelle. I need to mail to her, but I did not get an extra poster. But yes, I plan on framing one of them. I gave one of them to Patrick. I don't know what I'm going to do with the other two. Maybe I'll give one to my uncle.
Yeah, but
you should get like Bob Gurr or somebody to autograph one.
Yeah, I'll just call him up.
I can actually hook you up with that, hopefully, probably.
But maybe you should just put them aside for, you know, your kids, because they were part of this. And, you know, in 25 years' time, don't you think it'd be cool to have for them to have one?
No.
Oh.
No,
I don't like them.
I want the record to state that I'm agreeing with Rick right now. Because, no, the kids do not get them. That goes on eBay in 25 years. If it's going for $50 now, can you imagine at Walt Disney World's 75th anniversary, if you can be like, I got a 50th anniversary, you had to be there poster, please give me $2,000.
Okay, you might think I'm actually silly here, but on all the other special events that Steve and I have ever attended at Magic Kingdom, they've always given us buttons. And I would have loved to have a button to say, you know, 50th.
I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think I was disappointed by Disney, not the cast members, not the guests, but by Disney. I think in some ways they let us down and they put more into media and shopping than valuing the guests that were there to respect Walt Disney, you know, legacy, basically.
I think we can solidly and squarely lay all the blame on a certain individual named Bob. I don't have any insider information, but how do you have someone who is now CEO, who literally came from parks and lived in that world his basically entire career, not know how to run parks? I'm just going to say it. I know that some people will be upset. Most people, I feel, will agree with me. But old Chopping Block Chopek, I think, just didn't do what he was really should have done. There were no buttons. Don't get me started on the fact that, I mean, I'm glad, Jeff, that you got to get into the parks at 6:15 or whatever, but like you're supposed to let people in at 7:30 who are resort guests, and you just let everybody in at 6?
Yes.
What?
And I agree with you, Michael. I think that was another thing. I mean, there was nothing going out to the public about, you know, what time they were actually going to open. And mm-hmm. You know, maybe there was a reason behind that you and I don't know. But, I mean,
name is Bob.
Yeah, that's true, because that night before, I heard from different cast members. I asked about when are the buses going to start running. And fortunately, I didn't listen to the two that had told me between 4 and 4:30, because I would have been up real early and been disappointed. But another one told me between 6 and 6:30, so I sort of said, okay, I'm going with the 6 o'clock time, and just happened to get there right as the buses started. But yeah, it just did not seem well organized, like they really celebrated the moment officially. You know, the people were great, the cast members were great, very celebratory mood, but there wasn't a whole lot other than the merchandise that sort of said, this is the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World.
And you know what, Jeff, I think as we're talking this through, it comes to my mind, and I could be totally out to lunch on this one, but we all have talked about the atmosphere by the guests that was there that day. The feeling when you walked in to the park, the excitement, that did not come from Disney. That came from people like us that believe sort of like in the magic that Disney, Walt Disney created. And we were there to respect that. And as far as I'm concerned, the Disney Corporation didn't do their part on respecting that. That's all I'm going to say.
So I have a little bit of experience with this just because Leslie's parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary like 2 or 3 years ago. And we threw them a surprise party. Like, we got my father-in-law's best friend to come up from Florida, and we got all kinds of stuff and cake and a secret meeting place and, you know, a meal and all this stuff to commemorate them being married for 50 years, because that's a huge thing. And I don't feel like we got that with this. We got, here's some merch. We're going to also put the merch in stupid stores and, like, not put it in all the stores so that you have to join a virtual queue to enter the Emporium. Yeah, I feel like we got, give us your money. We're celebrating our 50th.
Which is very sad to say, actually. But
yeah. I think across the board, I mean, you could go in there and say, oh, COVID, you know, things got delayed and everything like that. But I think it was more, I mean, just assuming stuff more as an excuse for them not to do as much as they could have done for that first, you know, until I think, you know, they're at the point where they say, well, we got 18 months, we're going to do this. And for a good thing, you know, it's going to be like, wait till the international people come back and stuff like that. And the families come back and we have more people in the park and, you know, maybe they'll roll out some more stuff. But yeah, I think overall, I mean, we had a great time. And I think it's like you said, because the people that were there that weren't in, you know, just for merch, the people that were there for the true spirit, the cast members were great. And you know, it just them, you know, the organization themselves just dropped the ball on a big anniversary for a great park.
Yeah.
And one last thing, and then I'm done, I guess. One thing I did observe, and I think we all observed this, I've talked to the cast members and they agree with this too, is the new name tags are awesome looking, but they have where they're from so small, you have to be like right on top of them to see where they're from. So that's one of the things I like to do. See where they're from, carry on a conversation based on that. But you can't see it. And I mentioned it to a few cast members and they're like, yeah, this is one thing we don't understand why they made them so small. But that's just my last observation of the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also heard too that they apparently don't hold up in the heat as well as the old buttons or the old badges did. They actually apparently get soft if you leave them out in the sun. And
wow.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Michael, was there anything you wanted to add? I know you had made some comment about your special merch that you had bought that day. Did you want to share with
us? Sure. So real quick, and I don't understand this policy that Disney has because it does not benefit them. But okay, related to this, but side note from earlier conversation, we talked to a cast member in the Emporium. And we've all complained about people going in and buying up all the merch in one fell swoop and then nobody gets anything. And as everyone is aware, Disney instituted a new policy that was like, you get two per guest. That's it. And we were talking with a cast member and that's actually tied to a credit card or debit card. So if you go into the Emporium and like, let's say the Starbucks tumblers, you buy two of them and then you try to go back in and buy two more and use that same card. And I did also just give everyone a workaround. But anyway, if you use that card, again, it'll flag it and they won't let you buy it. But the thing that I don't understand about Disney is pass holder and D23 exclusive merch. I don't get it because if you sell more of it, you make more money. Disney doesn't make anything in the aftermarket. So if I go in and buy a pass holder exclusive item and then sell it on eBay for five times what I paid for it, I make the money. Disney gets none of that. That being said, we were in Creations and I'd picked up a bunch. We'd bought a bunch of stuff and we're standing in line and I get up there and lo and behold, I actually got picked up a pin that was a pass holder exclusive pin. I didn't realize it. I just got it because I thought it was cool. We get to the line. And the lovely cast member was checking me out And by that, I mean, he was scanning the items. He wasn't checking me out, although I do get that a lot. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I'm sitting there and he's scanning everything and he goes, oh, did you want this pin too? And he pulls out another pass holder exclusive 50th anniversary pin. And I looked at it. I was like, hell yeah, I want that. And he scanned it again. And we get to the end where he tells me the incredible amount that I'm about to give them. And then he says, keep in mind, he has knowingly rung up 3 or 4, if not 5 items that are pass holder exclusives. And then he says, do we have any discounts? And I say, no, because I'm not a pass holder. And then he just took my money. So that's the cool merch that I got. But like, I still don't understand why Disney does that, because it literally, I don't see how it could possibly benefit them other than making a pass holder feel like they're getting stuff that others aren't. And then they'll renew their passport, their pass. I don't get it, but yeah, that was a cool extra special merch that we got with some pass holder exclusive things.
Cool. Well, you know, Steve ended up with an annual pass, so there's going to be no living with him this year.
No, none.
Jeff, Bill, and Rick, is there any last comments you guys want to make regarding the park?
I'm just going to say that, you know, again, it didn't necessarily live up to my expectations as far as what Disney did for the 50th to make it feel special. But just being there and the people that I got to meet, and we'll talk about us meeting, but I mean, there were so many, there were other podcasters that I got to meet at the park. There were YouTubers and Instagrammers and things like that, that, you know, I was like, you know, we just sort of all knew we were there. And just, you know, you would spot somebody and say, I think I know that person, and I'd go up to them and talk to them. And it's like, sure enough, they were, you know, some Insta famous person or whatever. But I had fun just going around and talking to people, cast members, just random people. I took pictures of people who had merchandise because I didn't have my own. I didn't buy any. And so I wanted to get pictures of the merchandise. So I'd go up to random strangers and say, hey, I'm with, you know, WWPOV. Can I take some pictures of your merchandise? And they're like, sure. And they're modeling for me. It was just hilarious and fun and magical. And that's, I guess, how I'm going to wrap it up, is it was just a special, magical day that I'll remember.
And like you, I will also remember for talking with people. And the funniest moment for me was while Steve was back at the resort, sitting on a bench, talking to this couple, looking across the way, and I'm taking his picture because it's the one and only Jeff, and Jeff's not recognizing me.
I didn't see you there at first. And then when I saw you, as soon as I saw you, I knew who you were. I mean, it was just hilarious because I'm just, you know, in my own little bubble right there. I was getting ready to make a phone call. And sure enough, there's Sheila's like 10 feet away at the next picnic table.
Yeah, it was funny. Okay, who have we got? Rick and Bill, any last comments about the park?
Well, we didn't really get into it, but like talking about Disney Enchantment, which I did not. I tried to watch it on TV, but I kept falling asleep. That was after the dedication ceremony that they had. And I mean, personally, I think the reason that they had the ceremony at night with media only was so Bob Chapek wouldn't get booed.
I love it.
But we didn't watch Enchantment. We, you know, got to do the next day. We watched Harmonious from La Hacienda, the Sand and Hill restaurant, and it was our most, I think, magical moment of the whole trip, because Liam just sat there with a look of wonder on his face, you know, with his jaw dropped, while we watched the show. That was very unusual for him. The park all day Friday on the 1st. You know, we've mentioned it. The energy in the atmosphere of the people that were just happy to be there to celebrate the 1st. You know, the cast members were happy that I talked to. And the people being able to ride as many rides without the wait definitely improved the day for me, because I honestly expected to maybe do Small World with you guys and maybe one other ride with the lines, you know, being massive. And that was just a pleasant surprise. And being able to meet people the whole weekend, you know, other podcasters, friends that, you know, we've talked to, or, you know, I've met before. It was just a really fun experience.
Bill, did you want to add anything before we go on to the last little segment?
Yeah, I just kind of echo Rick's comment was, well, I guess everyone's comment about just the interacting with the other, you know, Disney fanatics, people that were, you know, there for the right reason. Meeting people from other podcasts that, and of course you guys and everything, but from the other podcasts and people that I've made contact with over Facebook and say, hey, yeah, you know, whatever. And that was kind of cool. And this was the first experience I've had being, I guess, part of a podcast at the park and being able to wear the Monorail Tales podcast shirt and getting, and it never got recognized for it, but I did have one cast member come up and like, oh, is that a podcast? And I'm like, yeah. And he says, and he was asking me questions about it, if he could listen to it here. And I said, well, I got some stickers. And he was all excited and gave him the sticker. And the other cast member was with him, said something to him, and he ran off and came back and put it on his water bottle he had. So that it was just, it was fun being a little bit of a pseudo celebrity, I guess, for a sense, for a few days. I had a blast. I was like a kid in the candy store.
That's great. Our first meetup was the Thursday before the Friday, if that makes sense. The 30th of September, we all met down at Raglan Road. I just want to hear your take on that Raglan Road to when we were having the group photograph outside Starbucks. So let's start with you, Bill.
It was, I think the whole thing with it was just kind of, I don't want to say cool, but it was like, I met you guys and it's like, you don't know how it's going to be when you actually meet someone in person that we've talked with. But it was like, it was just like a smooth transition to like, oh yeah, that's Michael. Not like, oh, there's Michael, but there's Michael, there's Michelle, there's Sheila. I mean, I was glad to see you guys, but it was like just a continuation of the friendship that we have on here or how we on social media and stuff like that. Aww. So it was just, you know, it's like just seamless. And, yeah. You know, so now I can say I met you guys. It was fun. I can't wait to get to the park at the same time as, you know, any of you guys are there again. But the part I liked the most was like getting to know the families a little bit. My BFF now, Liam, you know, I think I bonded a little bit with him. It was nice to get to know Michelle's kids. I mean, we see them on Facebook and stuff, but at least, you know, interact a little with them. And Michael's, your daughters are like, you know, they're
princesses.
All great princesses. Yes. I think Michelle's are princesses. And I don't know. It was just, yeah, they're all cute as can be.
Yes.
And also to be able to, you know, officially meet Patty and Jack and Marcus, yeah, because that was one of the POV was one of the first things that I started watching as far as on Facebook with the Facebook lives when I first started into this. So it's still with Jeff when he talks, it's like he still has that little bit of that tinge of celebrityness to me, I guess, maybe because he's not on the show as much as like Sheila. At first it was like, you know, and Steve, and it's like, whoa, when I first talked to him. Now it's kind of, I've talked to you guys so much, it kind of like, but you know, Jeff isn't as on as much as he used, you know, so still when I hear him talk, like, that's Jeff. Oh, so it's just a little little bit of starstruck on that sense.
Okay, so my shininess has kind of worn off then. It's all about Jeff.
It's all about Jeff. Tinker Jeff.
Tinker Jeff.
All that glimmers is not gold.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, man.
I think for me, the one frustration I had was we just didn't have enough time for each other. You know, I mean, we had our families. Well, I didn't have family except Steve. But the one thing that gets me is the next day at Epcot, which is on the last episode that Steve and I recorded. We had sound bites from Michael on that episode. And it's where we're waiting for other co-hosts to come and join us. And Michael and I are, you know, we're joking. It's like we hadn't sent a message to any of our co-hosts to say we were outside Raglan Road. No one. And, you know, it was like Michael and I were saying, we're like magnets, Michael.
You mean, you know? Rose and Crown?
Oh, sorry. I apologize. Rose and Crown, Epcot. Yeah, I mean, it was like everybody was being drawn, and not for the booze, but being drawn to the Rose.
I was going to say, we're just all alcoholics.
Oh, Sheila. Okay. Go and spoil the moment, Michael. But it was. I mean, you listen to the actual recording. You and I, Michael, are joking about being magnets and everyone's being attracted to us. We had all the co-hosts show up when it was not a planned meetup, which got me, actually.
It doesn't hurt that we also had Katie, who absolutely adores Ellie. And so, like, it was one of those, we happened to be in Messenger at the same time, and we happened to be in France at the same time, and then we just, like, hooked up with them, and it was Michelle and Ellie and Owen, and then we just literally walked into England, into the UK, and lo and behold, we have the security risk Sheila and her husband Steve.
Drink in hand.
Yeah, right. I will say that Steve and Sheila were exactly how I thought they would be when we met in person. Like, not bad. Like, just literally, that I was like, okay, yeah, that's what I expected. Bill was exactly what I expected. We know the roll keys like IRL, so that wasn't a big deal. Yeah. I will say Rick's hair was way longer than I thought it was. And I'm not, Jeff, I'm not saying at all that you're short, but I literally, for some reason, thought you were like 6'7". I don't know why, but I literally thought, like, just seeing you online, I was like, this dude is tall. Like, I don't know why I did that, but I was like, this dude is a freaking giant. Like, he probably played college basketball that big. And then I was like, oh, he's a normal person. He is not 6'9". He's like my height.
I'm right about your level, yeah.
Those were the two things that I got out of it, was that most of you were exactly how I pictured you, except for Rick and Jeff. And the only things there were, Jeff, you weren't as tall as I thought, and evidently Rick is a dirty hippie with his long hair. Get a haircut, Rick.
I just got my haircut before we left.
Dear God, what was it, down to the floor? You hippie.
Come on, Rick, it's your turn. Was Michael what you were expecting?
I think everybody in our group is pretty genuine. So the way that people may portray themselves and or come across is how they really are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wasn't surprised by anybody, you know, because I've met most everybody already. Michael and Jeff were the only new ones that I met, and, you know, I've talked to them so much, you know, it really was like, you know, I already knew them. Yeah, maybe Jeff is a little bit shorter than he portrays himself.
Oh, Jeff.
I think maybe he uses lift shoes on the WDW POV live show or something. to appear a little taller. But
I will say,
I'm
Rick,
tall myself, so everybody seems short to me.
Rick, I was going to say, I will say, while Jeff does come across as taller online, he was very clearly an agricultural type fellow because dude is jacked.
Are you kidding?
Nah, dude, I was like, whoa, like Jeff, like, welcome to the gun show, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, wow, he's way shorter, but also way thicker and in a good way.
Oh, okay, this conversation is going somewhere where I never thought it would. So, okay, carry on, Michael.
I just don't understand how you got the nickname Tinker Jeff, looking all macho like you do there, buddy.
Yeah, I wonder where it came from.
I have no idea. I will say one of the, and Sheila, I'm giving you homework. If you can get a picture of this, that would be great to go out. But I will say the meetup after dinner at Raglan Road was cool and fun. All of that being said, I think my favorite thing was getting to actually autograph a paper with that's, I think there's going to be a picture drawn or something, but someone who's, I would say, an avid listener had all of us sign something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And that was cool. That was interesting. I'd never thought. So, like, we started the whole podcast thing, and there's a former co-host that was in Pinocchio Village House the same time we were, and we were trying to meet up, and, like, it just was weird with Messenger and whatever, and then they just yelled out. I'm talking about Trent, for anybody who's playing along at home. They just, like, yelled out loud while we were, like, walking to the bathroom, and slightly angrily, I will say, but not to hold that against them. And then, like, we met, and that was really cool, but it was actually way cooler, no offense to Trent and Jenny, but it was way cooler to have Abby there and, like, ask for an autograph. Like, why? I'm not important, but it was cool. It was certainly cool and fun, and it was really interesting, Sheila, just to see, like, you know, we do this every week or so, and we record it and put it up on the internet. And some of us listen to our own podcasts. Some of us are not gluttons for punishment, and we don't. But, like, it's really, like, I know that people download it. I know that people listen to it. But to then actually see those people in real life is surreal in a really cool way, because it's like, oh, it's not fake. Like, these are not, like, bots that are downloading or pretending to download. Like, we actually have people that listen to this podcast now. I don't know what we did to make that happen. We made a change somewhere. But, yeah, that was really cool.
You know what, Michael? Wow. I am so glad you brought up about Abby. Her plan is to get a picture of us all, which probably will be the one from Rose and Crown that I'll give her. And she's going to frame it with all our comments and signatures.
I would definitely say, Abby, hold on to that for like another 30 years. And then you can forge my signature to get me out of jail or something. I don't know. It'll be useful someday. Just hang on to it.
Or maybe just useful for toilet paper. Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll see. Okay. Bill, did you make comments yet about meeting each other?
Yeah.
You have?
I did.
Everyone's, I think I'm Jeff.
Left. I think I'm the one that's left.
Okay. This is great because now you can do comeback on all the others that kind of made comments to you.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, there were nice comments. That's
true.
I'm floored. but you literally, Michael, you took the word right out of my mouth. And when we started talking about what is it that we felt when we got to finally meet up together, and the word was surreal. That was the word that popped into my head. You know, it was just sort of a surreal moment for me because, I mean, we started Monorail Tales back in the early summer of 2017, if I remember.
Yeah, June 2017.
So we're talking over 4 years. Over four years.
What's that? It was Sicily in 1921.
And so over 4 years, and I had never met a single one of you. But I felt like, you know, from doing the podcasts over these last 4 years, you know, we were family. It was like we were family. And, you know, with the love for Disney that we all share. You know,
Michael's the black sheep, yeah.
What's that?
I said Michael is the black sheep.
He's the black sheep, huh?
Of the family, yeah.
Why? He loves Disney.
What? Hang on.
No, of our little question. Family.
Oh, he's just the black sheep in general.
Yes.
But I have a question, Sheila. Out of this group, who has been escorted off property by security?
I don't know, Michael. There are rumors spread by the black sheep of the family.
Perhaps.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry, Jeff. We're interrupting your
talk. That's okay. No problem.
Go back
to
it.
That's what my family does to me, too. So anyway, so when we met at Raglan Road that Thursday night on the 30th, that was cool. But I agree with you, Sheila. It felt like we just didn't have enough time. Yeah. I felt like, you know, it was, you know, you're eating, you're talking. You know, we talked a lot with Bill and his wife, which was great. And I know, you know, him and Patty, I mean, they got to talk a lot, but I was like in a weird spot where I couldn't really hear everything very well. Yep. And you know, it was sort of noisy in there, and you know, so I felt like I wasn't really too involved in that. And then when we went to, you know, take that group picture together over at Starbucks, and Abby was there, and Michael, I am glad you brought her up too, because I got to hug her. She gave me a hug, and it was special. It really was. And then, like you said, when she wanted our autographs, when she wanted us to sign this, you know, card sheet that she had there, definitely made me feel special. It did. And I was glad we were able to do that. And then the next day, like you guys said, you know, we sort of all congregated over at the UK at Epcot. And that was really cool. And I knew, Michael, I knew I had to get a picture with my GoPro on my head. I was trying to do it the night before.
Absolutely.
Thursday night. But I was like, you know, we always talk about it. I said, I got to get a picture with it on with Michael, because I know you love I'm just kidding. The raw videos that the mostly unedited videos I sometimes put out on YouTube. Although I've been getting better, I've been using Adobe Premiere now, so I'm getting up there, bud.
There you go.
With the editing skills. So, but anyway, yeah, meeting together like that was a cool moment. I guess Sheila and Steve, you know, you guys always joke about or go on about the fact that you don't want to do a live stream or, you know, a video type vlog or whatever you want to call it, because you always would act like, you know, oh, we don't look good on camera, blah, blah, blah. You guys look great. I thought the two of you would be perfect on a live stream or on a video. So I just want to let you guys know that.
That's so sweet of you. It doesn't work though. Sorry, Rick. We're still doing audio.
So just to recap, did Jeff just say Steve and Sheila aren't nearly as ugly as he thought they were?
I think so, Michael.
That's not the way I meant it, but sure, you could interpret it however you want.
I will say, Jeff, I think one of the coolest, funnest, and oddest, and I mean that in a good way, experiences on the trip was when we all met up on accident in Epcot, and we were just hanging out. And like, I was paying attention to whatever and the kids, and I was distracted. And then all of a sudden, I went over, walked back over towards Leslie, and Douglas had pulled up and informed her that he had severely disappointed Patty on like June 2nd, 2016. And Leslie was like, what do I do with this information? And she was like, well, I'm sorry. And like they had a whole conversation and then Patty and I both got involved and it was amazing. It was the funniest, and I mean that in like a super amazing way. Like it was the funniest, most real, probably the most real conversation I had when I was down there. Because Leslie, God bless her, she's such an introvert. Like she just is, and she just literally, Jack says, I disappointed my mom on this date, and like had a timestamp and everything. Yeah. And Leslie looks over and says, well, I'm really sorry. Like, what happened? And then he proceeds to tell her everything that happened, and then Patty got involved. And then a beautiful, wonderful conversation just blossomed out of it. But it was hilariously fun experience to just stand there and be like, wow, man, you really made your mom mad. Like, what happened? And then he just went into it. And we were like, oh, okay.
Well, and that's cool, too, because, you know, we always talk about how, you know, for Jack, you know, Douglas, that, you know, he always seems to have some kind of breakthrough that happens after going to Disney or while we're at Disney. And I've noticed since the meetup, you know, meeting you guys, and he's been going up to people and starting conversations an awful lot more in the past 2 weeks. And that's a big deal. I mean, to us, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
no, that's awesome.
He's just sort of broken out of another layer of the shell. And, you know, so it's not only where, you know, somebody will ask him a question and he'll give a quick little answer. He's actually starting conversations himself now with a bunch of people. He's going up to people and saying hi to them and introducing himself to them, even if he doesn't know them. Wow. And it's just amazing. Amazing. I think, and you guys, well, you guys are right at the start of that whole next phase for him. So
I'll take full responsibility for that.
You could do that. Well, you can do that.
No, and that's really awesome because so it's a combination of patting ourselves, I'm patting the co-hosts on their backs, but also like Disney in general. Because Jack was nonverbal for a very long time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And so to go from being nonverbal to verbal to I'm just going to walk up to a stranger and start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I have not lived with what you guys have lived through with being his parents. And I get that, but like, even I know how big of a deal that is.
Bill, I think I heard you in the background at one point. Did you want to add anything before we start winding up?
No, I was just, what were we talking about, Jack? You know, great that, you know, he's doing this, but I've told Patty this before on her group she has. And like, he is a celebrity. And I did sit there. I mean, Marcus, the same thing. It's like, sitting there, I'm like, it's Marcus. It's Jack. I'm having dinner with Jack. I can't believe I'm having dinner with Jack. The Jack and Marcus.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's great. And that's kind of the whole thing with this, with the podcasts and the groups and, you know, I think we're all a bunch of probably introverts and it gives us a chance to get out, and introverts are just someone who wants to talk and they just don't know how to sometimes. And it gives us that little breakthrough that allows us to get there. And we talk about it. And the thing about it is with Disney, it's like, and that's one thing I've got into it about was you can have these discussions and it's nothing important. We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about this or that. It's Disney. Yeah. I mean, if I tell you that, you know, I think that Chapek's the best CEO they've ever had, and you disagree with me, it doesn't really matter. It's Disney.
Yeah.
And that's the best part about all of this.
Yeah. And that's funny you mentioned that, too, real quick, Bill, because it was, I think, 2017, 2018. So it was not long after, you know, we all started this whole, you know, adventures, podcasting, live streaming and stuff. But it was weird because I was at Epcot. I was there with Marcus and Jack. We were at Club Cool. Patty was actually doing a, you know, she was one of those moms panel or moms, you know, Disney social media moms things, celebrations. And so it was the three of us were by ourselves at Epcot, Club Cool. And some family comes up to me and they look at me and they're like, you're Jack's dad. It's like, you're kidding me. It was just totally floored me that out of the blue, I get somebody who recognized Jack-Jack and was like, yeah. So, I'm known as Jack-Jack's dad. That's it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like you said, Sheila, though, we got to get another meetup because
I
wanted to wrap up my, I feel like I did not get to talk to Bill nearly enough. I didn't get to talk to any of you nearly enough. I didn't get to talk to Rick hardly at all. Yeah. Michelle hardly at all. Really, I mean, it's just like everything just sort of happened so quickly. I thought we were going to have more time together. But if we're going to go into this direction, Rick was definitely taller than I thought he would be. Michelle was much shorter than I thought she was going to be. And Bill, I am very humbled.
Isn't she like a midget? Oh, my goodness.
She is sort of like a midget, yeah.
Hey, that's not fair. She's not here to defend us.
I know. But Bill, I am very humbled by your comments about you saying one of the early shows you were streaming or watching was our show. And that means a lot. And I appreciate that. So.
And Rick. I agree with you. She is a person that you, Michelle is a person you just want to go up and hug.
Oh yeah.
She is amazing. I know I'm saying it. She reminds me so much of one of my daughters. I mean, she's amazing. Great mom, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. And tonight's her anniversary, so she couldn't be with us. I just want to say happy anniversary, Michelle. We love you. Yes. Okay, just kind of wrapping up very quickly, I do want to do a shout out to two very special podcasts out there that came and supported us at our meet on the Thursday evening. And that was the co-hosts from the Mickey Files podcast and also Disney Crush podcast. And I know Dave wanted to see me up in that balloon, but not this time, Dave, not this time. they're great podcasts that you need to go and check out if you haven't already. Also, very quickly, I did mention this on the episode that Steve and I did, so I'm not really going to get into it too much, but we talk about being recognized. I was so worn out coming back from Epcot on the Saturday night. I was super, super, super tired. And as we're coming up to the bus stop, I hear this person shout out, "Oh, I listened to your podcast." Well, not in that accent. It was an American accent. But, I mean, sorry, Colleen, I can't do the American. But we were wearing our T-shirts and she called us out and she said, "I listened to your podcast." And, you know, it really got me because, as I said, I was super, super, super tired. And she put a spring back in my step because it meant someone, actually, Michael, does listen to us, and that's Colleen. So Colleen, thank you so much for supporting us. And I did say I was going to do it on three shows, so I'm down two shows, one more to go. Also, Bill, are you still up to just doing a quick blurb, or are you too tired?
I'm always ready to talk. It might not make much sense, but I can always talk.
You never do.
Oh, thank you.
But we love you.
If you leave the Hawaiian words in people's names out, I'm good.
Go for it. Go for
it, Bill. Okay. Yeah, as you just heard, we were the ones that were able to enjoy the 50th. And I was going to say, we'll deal with the crowds, but the crowds weren't really bad, except for Jeff trying to fight people to get up there to hear the 10 o'clock, hey, it's the 50th, celebrate, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But because of the niceness out of Steve and Sheila's heart, we are running a contest that goes to our midnight on Halloween night to be able to win a reusable tote bag from the 50th anniversary celebration.
Cost $2.50. Carry on, Bill.
Oh, no, but eBay, it's probably $300 now.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
The regular Magic Kingdom guide map that they are going to have through the celebration. The commemorative poster that you had to be there to get at the end that Steve went through and got 50 of them. And the beautiful, it really is. If you haven't seen it yet, the Magic Kingdom commemorative guide map is, it is really nice. and we're giving those away. So all you have to do is I'll share it again. Just make a comment what you are looking forward to for the next 18 months, or is it, we're at 17 months now, of the 50th celebration. That's all you have to do. Unfortunately, only U.S. mailing addresses only, and all additional rules and guidelines we have for our contest apply. So,
and there's only one winner, unfortunately, for this contest. But yeah, come over to our Facebook group, join if you haven't already. We'd love to see you there. I mean, I really want to get to know our listeners, you know, your name, where you're from, etc. I can't thank you enough for supporting us just by downloading our episodes. And if you ever want to be on the show as a guest, just let us know. Reach me at Sheila@monorailtales.com. Facebook, Monorail Tales, private group. We're drama free. Well, kind of semi drama free, unless Rick makes comments. And then, yeah, well, come and check us out. Seriously. I can't thank my fellow co-hosts enough for tonight's episode. It was great, guys, hearing your thoughts. And for sure, we are going to do a meetup next year. No question about it. So you, between all of you, have brought tears to my eyes at different times. And tonight, with your comments, and just want to say thank you. Thank you for being part of this journey and making Monorail Tales what it is. So, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Rick. Oh, Rick's
asleep. Good night.
Oh, my mouse isn't working. Hang on.
Oh, shoot. Yep. I'm trying to record it now so I can see it.
Stars glow for you. Go see the world.